What's up, guys, and welcome back to my channel. If you're new here, my name is Cassie Amber and I'm a plant-based holistic nutritionist and also a WBFF bodybuilding competitor. I compete in wellness, and in April this year I'm also going up to fitness for the first time as well. So this has been an interesting journey for me because I've always done intuitive eating. I don't track food by choice. I don't like numbers. I don't like rules. I feel like as soon as there's a rule put on it, that I go the complete opposite way and I get up for all these midnight snacks. Like the first day of my cut, I'll be like eating so many midnight snacks and eat like 3,000 calories in a day, when usually I eat like 1,800 or 2,000 just as my like daily maintenance kind of thing. So I thought this would be an interesting video to do because it's something I have considered. Before we get into it, if you would like to connect with me online, head over to my Instagram or TikTok at Cassie Amber with 2 underscores, and I also post most of my YouTube videos over to my Plant Powered podcast as well. So that's great if you're out for a walk, or if you're driving to work on the commute, or cleaning the house, or cooking dinner, you can just tune in as well. And don't forget to subscribe if you like nutrition, wellness, lifestyle, and business videos. So first up, how did I get ripped in this photo? This was a few years ago when I was living in Auckland. I never used to track food. And when I've been prepping for my bodybuilding show, I look back on that and I'm like, how did your core get like that? I literally have veins in my forearms and I was just living my life and having fun. And yes, age does come into it. Yeah, I would have been around 22 at that point, approximately. So obviously the older you get, the harder it is to lose that much fat and get lean kind of thing because of your metabolism. But I wanted to share some of the routines and lifestyle habits that I had to get to that point. So I used to go to the gym, but I never started training properly only until a couple of years ago. I never knew how to do deadlifts or hip thrusts or any of the things that actually build your physique. I'd only do like kettlebell circuits. I'd do really light weights that I thought were hard because it's all in your mindset. And even doing like dumbbell rows, I thought like 8 kg I'd be doing it like, oh my god, this is so hard. But in reality, I could lift double or triple what I thought I could. So I would go to the gym but wasn't truly pushing myself with progressive overload and the right form or anything like that. I'll do one class a week, usually yoga, boxing, or HIIT classes. And when I did the HIIT classes, I smashed it. I really, really pushed my body. Sometimes I'd finish my workout and then I'd go outside to the athletics track and I'd start sprinting. And so I was very active in my daily routine. In the weekend, my best friend and my partner at the time were both DJs. So I'd probably go out about twice a month. I wouldn't go to the clubs just to like go clubbing. I would only go to gigs, and dubstep was really big in New Zealand back then, thank God. But we'd go out, so I'd go support her or go support him, and I'd be dancing some nights, honestly, between 3 to 5 hours. Sometimes just like 1 or 2 hours if it wasn't a big one, but sometimes you're dancing honestly the whole night, and it's like such good exercise for your core as well. And then on the Sunday, to cure my hangover, I would go for a 3-hour hike, but I didn't just walk the track. I would do HIIT training running. So every time it was an uphill, I'd be like, wow, and run as fast as I could. And then every time I ran out of breath, I'd stop and walk, catch my breath, and then be like, wow. So the 3-hour hike took me 1.5 hours. And that's how I would recover, because of all the nature and the forest and the fresh air. It actually makes you feel better than just laying in bed all day. So I did not know where that energy came from. Once again, I think age is a huge factor, but I never used to track anything. I've never used my fitness pal. I never had jumped on the scales. I was just very, very active and eating very clean food, lots of natural stuff. It's when I first got into plant-based eating, lots of stir fries, lots of veggies, all whole foods, and like lots of homemade things. So that really, really got me into the best shape of my life, like extremely ripped in that sense, like the most core definition and like my forearms and everything like that. The second part of this video is how I prepped for my last bodybuilding show. Now, I went through a very detrimental breakup. I was on the phone to those helpline counselors sometimes 3 times a day. They actually had to tell me to stop calling them because you need time in between calls to like recuperate your thoughts and things like that. But I was just so depressed. I lived off peanut butter sandwiches and coffee. I would go to sleep every night with red wine and diazepam. And I was like, I just can't be bothered being awake. Like, I just literally don't want to be here. And I'd always looked up to the woman who did the shows. Like, Hattie Boyder was a huge one. And I was like, can I really sign up and just be on the same stage as those women that I look up to? So I signed up with 6 weeks to go until show day. Had never done bodybuilding before. I got a coach. I got a plan written up for me. And I was so depressed. Like, I'd just been laying in bed. Also, we'd had COVID the year before. So I'd lost a lot of muscle just from laying around so much and like couldn't access the gym or anything. So I'd gotten like quite small, but I always still thought my body was cute back then. I never had body image issues or anything like that. I still had like, yeah, the undertone and the shape, but just was very small compared to how I am now. And literally had two virtual posing sessions online, bought a secondhand bikini off Facebook Marketplace, and boom, just rocked up from the day with no idea what I was doing. When I was prepping for the show, I just started walking the dog as well. And even though I wasn't even doing it for me, I was like, well, I've got to walk the dog just to get her outside, and just starting to do that every day or every second day, slowly started to work on my mental health, just started getting my blood circulation going, getting my digestive system going, getting some sunshine and vitamin D on your skin, breathing in the fresh air from the trees. Just one simple habit like that can actually change your whole mental health. And it's often overlooked because it's just walking, but honestly, even if you don't do it for you, like borrow a friend's dog or something, or if you have your own dog, just get outside and walk, and that will honestly transform everything, paired with listening to really informative or inspiring podcasts that help you to think bigger and expand your thoughts. So that really, really was a life-changing step as well. So yeah, I had basically had a diet of peanut butter sandwich and coffee for a few months. It was obviously very nutrient deficient, especially being plant-based, just like a couple of weeks off not eating well, especially months on end, like eating just bread and coffee gets the nutrients out of your body. Like, it was very washed out and nutrient deficient, but I showed up on the day and I ended up placing third in wellness and I burst into tears on stage. That's like the best possible outcome. I just remember thinking, like, imagine if I could just place top three. If I could get in the top three, that would be really cool and would make it all worth it. And then they called out my name and I was like, ah! I just started crying. I could barely walk. I almost had to leave the stage and the whole audience was like, oh. So I've had a 2-year break in between shows and a decent time to build and grow my physique and really focus on what I want to do with my future, with my business and with bodybuilding. So the issue that I have with tracking and the difference I have between most people is that I don't weigh food, and I don't know if I will have to in the future once you get to those higher levels. I've decided that I want to compete in Vegas because I got inspired after seeing all the women head over there last year. I was like, you know what? I want to compete in Vegas. So once I get to those higher levels, and especially going up to the fitness category as well, you've got to be very lean. So I might have to track, like weigh things on the scale at some stage. And the difference with me is, because I've always eaten intuitively, I just like to think about what I feel like that week or try a new recipe, and I could never like quite make it match. So what the girls do is they say they have all the meals laid out for them in the week, they cook it and put it into containers, and it's all put in MyFitnessPal before the week even starts. So that's how to be exactly accurate, like tracking and weighing every bit of sauce. I had one girl in my changing room said that she would cut cashew nuts in half to make it the exact weight on the scale. And I'd never done anything like that. I don't really work well with rigid rules. I don't want to be scared of like adding too many cashews to my food or something, because fats also benefit our bodies. It benefits our hormones, our joints, our skin, our hair, so many different things, our brains. So I don't want to fear foods like that. So I may have to get stricter as I go along my journey. But the difference between using a scale and doing it visually, number one, on MyFitnessPal, a lot of it doesn't, it only goes by grams. So it'll say like this many grams of crackers. And I'm like, I don't know, it's just 5 crackers. Or with that kind of thing, you can check the label to see how many serves. But with a lot of things, like I put up this post done by Beyond Fitness, who they are also WBFF. Well, she's a WBFF competitor and a coach as well. So with like the visual aspect of one tablespoon of peanut butter, because peanut butter is a fat, so it's so calorie dense, it could be like a level tablespoon or it could be a heaped tablespoon. So the difference could be double the amount of calories to what you're entering in. So doing it my way isn't exactly accurate in that sense, especially when you're leading up to show day. And just when I make food, I'm like, oh, I'm a bit, I think that's about a cup that I put in, or it's just about a sprinkle of seeds. So I'll just put in like, oh, maybe a tablespoon of seeds or something, but I'm not actually like getting out of scale and doing it. I've always made my food just by throwing it in the pan and seeing what it looks like and what kind of textures I want and what colors I want and just what I feel like. And with the amounts I eat, I've always just eaten like until I'm full and then save some for lunch the next day. Or if you're really hungry, honestly, just like have a huge meal because you might have done leg day and a hike or something and you're starving and you need more food. And it can depend on your cycle. I always talk about this, like, especially with a woman, sometimes we're not going to be hungry and sometimes we're going to be starving. So things always change and I've always just worked things in with my body, but only because I'm so used to doing that and knowing what foods trigger me and knowing what foods I thrive off and make me feel really light and energized and good. If you're wondering the difference between shows as well, I've done a couple of videos and podcast episodes on this before as well. So there's a few smaller ones, like ICN stands for I Compete Natural. And that's a good one just for people to get into. I just went straight for the big one, WBFF, because I love the glitz and the glam. The bikinis are so extravagant. Your whole posing routine is yours and it's designed to suit your body and accentuate your best features. You stand out on stage, you can do what you like. A big part of the mark is also marketability. Then there's IFBB, which is everyone has the same shape bikini, it's just different colors. And everyone's got very specific poses that they need to do, and it's basically solely physique focused. So depends what kind of thing you're going for. Now, when it came to building my physique, so I've had 2 years in between shows. I'm currently 9 weeks out at the time of filming this. I haven't been exact with eating a certain amount of calories to the point past fullness or even focus really on anything at all. I've been through a lot of random mental health stuff. I got out of my very unhealthy relationship that ruined all my self-worth, and I moved to Gold Coast with $50 to my name, and then I like broke my toe, then lost my job, then I was disabled and had to have my foot elevated and can't get government support, and then just all this stuff, and then moved into a house where it absolutely ruined my mental health. The lady I live with came and told me, like, I went to hospital a few times with UTIs that went to my kidneys. And then I just got out of hospital and she's like, oh, you've lost so much muscle. You're not ready for the show. Your physique has gone backwards. Real friends tell you what you want to hear. And then repeated all those three things again. So I actually developed body image issues for the first time in my life. And then I had to go to the show and watch her compete to support her. And that brought up a lot of feelings for me of not being enough. Why have I let someone else's comments get to me? And it was hard for me to get out of the property because I work for myself and there's an extreme housing crisis at the moment and I've got a huge dog. So I met a lovely new partner and we got a beautiful home and no flatmates. We just pay a little bit more and we have an office each because he's a photographer and we have our own space. I've got peas all day because he's away at work. And honestly, this is like the most on track I've been for a prep and just like I'm feeling so calm, so motivated, so sure of myself, and yeah, just like really, really in the zone. So your environment plays such a huge part if you're going to sign up for something like that. Like, you can't be having a job that you hate, that's stressing you out and exhausting you and making you feel burnt out every day. You need so much time and dedication to commit to the meal prep, the posing practice, the getting your steps in and cardio, the strength training sessions, recovery, staying on track with food. Like, you can't, like, a lot of girls just don't go to social events for like 3 or 4 months leading up to the show. And I'll talk a little bit later about how I've incorporated both so I can have a little bit more balance. So I didn't have a specific build protocol. I just learned how to lift properly. I learned how to do Romanian deadlifts, reverse lunges on the Smith machine. They're another one of my favorites. Split squats, hip thrusts, I just started doing single leg press, which is actually really hard as well. And you've really got to focus on pushing through your heel, and it really, really works your glutes, which is amazing. And because I used to just do kettlebell circuits, that's really, really helped build my physique, just working on actual strength and exercises that target the biggest muscles in your body. I don't do abs or bother with abs at all, because you're working your abs. Like, say when you're doing a Romanian deadlift, you're pushing through your glutes and your whole core is being tensed during that time. So the big exercises that I'm doing work your core as well, same as walking or running. That's like working your core. So doing ab workouts is not going to get you abs. It comes to low body fat percentage and like working those bigger muscles to speed up your metabolism. But when my mental health was really bad, honestly, I was not eating well again. I did lose a little bit of weight. I would just get those vegan chicken schnitzels and put them in the toaster because I didn't want to do any dishes. That's how bad I was mentally. I was extremely depressed at some points, completely overwhelmed. I used to just love cooking, and that's why like I started a nutrition business, and I just like couldn't be bothered making a meal. I just didn't want to eat. I was like, I don't know what to have for breakfast. I just won't eat. I was just really not in a good spot. So now that I'm in this house and like things are on a roll, I'm making my plant-based recipe app. So I've got new recipes to try and make for that as well. So that's all been a good motivator to eat more whole foods again and start getting back into the kitchen and finding the joy in it. So yeah, my diet wasn't optimized when I didn't have the mental capacity to fuel myself. So part four, can you actually do an intuitive cut? I've considered doing this entirely without tracking food because I actually hated it so much. But with the time, energy, and effort and cost invested into doing a show, it would probably be a waste if I wasn't giving myself the best chance possible. So I find that I've kind of adopted some approaches of tracking and things like that, and sticking to a calorie allocation and hitting a protein goal, but not exactly as strict as the other people. And I find that's what works best for my mind and my personality and my brand. So I found my own balance. I have a calorie allocation and my partner is supporting me throughout this journey. But what we do sometimes is like what we've noticed, say if I hit my calorie targets for the day, because sometimes I'll even hit it before dinner time and I'm like, well, crap, I'm up to my limit already. So I'll just try to eat like a really high volume dinner with lots of greens and stuff and make sure I get in my protein. But if I'm hungry and I go to bed hungry, I would wait till he would go to sleep and I'd get up and I'd eat all these midnight snacks because I can't sleep until I have more carbs. I'd be making sandwiches and just like raiding the pantry because I actually can't sleep if I'm thinking about food. So what we've decided is that if it gets to that point and I'm hungry after dinner, like sometimes I'll just have a Milo or like a hot chocolate or a licorice tea and a couple pieces of dark chocolate. It's just been little swaps like that. So instead of eating like half a block of Whittaker's chocolate, it'll just be like a tea and a little taster, and a darker chocolate makes it go further because the taste is so rich as well. And we've been eating protein mousse almost every day. So we just get the one from Muscle Nation. There's a couple of dairy-free flavors as well. He found these soy protein crisps, which are really low calorie and high in protein, which gives you a good bang for your buck. Just crush a couple of Oreos on top. He makes mine for me most nights, which is like so nice having someone to support you like that. And even though I'd go over in my calories for the day, I'm getting an extra boost of protein by 20 grams. So that is a big amount in comparison to the whole day. So that's the salted caramel one. I also really like the chocolate one. And you literally just add water, stir it up, boom, you've got a protein mousse. Really satisfying dessert because it actually keeps you feeling full for longer. So I just buy them from the supermarket. So that's in the health section, so super easy. And with the approach that I've got to my calorie and macro allocations, so yes, I do go over sometimes on my calories and kind of it fluctuates. So another thing you can do instead of hitting your exact calorie target every day is divide it by the week. So in one of my other previous videos, he's actually revamped a whole Excel spreadsheet. So at the start of every week, I enter in all my details from the previous week and see what my average things were for the day, like my average protein, my average calories, And that can also be better, especially if you're doing things on the weekends. Like we just got back from a bush doof. I was eating way less than I would on a normal day. Sometimes I might be out doing things and eat way more than I usually do in a day. So as long as the weekly average is around about right, then that's kind of what I focus on, which is allows for a little bit more daily flexibility. The other thing I do different to everyone else is I don't actually care about carb and fat intake. I still write it down in the spreadsheet just for the sake of it, but to me it doesn't make a difference because plant-based diets are higher in carbs, so I know I'm getting in the carbs that I need anyway, and I already add fats to my food, so I know I'm getting in my fats. Fats are higher in calories, so you've got to be just cautious of the amounts, but to me that doesn't make too much difference with like the overall body composition. I think the protein target helps keep you feeling full and maintain your muscle, especially during a cut, and sticking to the calories because obviously it's going to get less and less as you get closer to the stage date. The other thing I've been wondering about as well is that I won't be able to have the same peak week protocols as everyone else. I'll do some research online as to what other vegans do, but I don't know the exact protocols either because last show I just like showed up. And my friend actually reminded me, honestly, last time I drove 10 and a half hours to the show and it was like late at night. I was starving. I was meant to cook dinner once I got to her house. And I literally stopped into the gas station and got like a pastry roll, like the day, 2 days before the show. Like no one else would be doing that. But for the peak week protocols, I know people do like a water load and then cut out water. And they also cut out carbs for like 2 days and then carb up completely. But all the plant-based proteins have carbs. So even tofu has a bit of carbs. All the plant-based chickens have carbs in them. It's going to be impossible for me to go zero carb unless I was like eating cucumber. So I'll do some research online to even find what to do. But I feel like even those, I can have like a kind of plan, but not be like exact. Because I know they do things with like salt and stuff like that as well. Like they don't even put like herbs on their food, like any seasonings or anything. So that's not really me. I like to just find my balance. So I'll get an idea of what I'm going to do for peak week, but I'm not going to be able to do like the zero carb thing because out of plant-based food, what's left? I can't just eat like chicken or some of the girls on show day. I saw them eating beef mince for breakfast. That is not me. So I'm not going to be able to follow those. So I'm just going to do the best I can and just like make it work for my body and my diet and lifestyle. Another way I intuitively track, because I don't have an Apple Watch, I just have a normal watch, which I prefer. I don't like to get caught up on details, and in some ways it would help, but I don't necessarily want one. With my phone, when I'm working or like when I'm doing things, it's not tracking my steps because it's not always on me all the time. So I don't track actually my steps during the day because the girls have like a step goal to get to. So what I do, which I don't think anyone is this relaxed about, I just track walks by the length of time and how often. So at the moment I'll do one hike a week. So that's around like an hour 15 or an hour and a half. That's through trees and on rocky terrain. And I'll aim for one lake walk a week, which is about an hour 15 just on flat ground. And then maybe like twice a week, just do a walk around the block with the dog, which is only 40 minutes, which is a lot shorter. So I'm not tracking exactly how many steps I've got to do in a day. Like, especially say if I was going for that hike, came back exhausted, actually fell asleep on the couch yesterday afternoon. I'm not going to be like, oh my God, I've got 1,000 more steps to do. Like I know the people do that and like stress out and go and do it, but I already did my hike. I already did my gym session. As long as I'm sticking to that every day or every second day, like I usually go 4 or 5 times a week for a walk, then that's the way I track it in my mind. It just the way I feel, like, do I feel fitter? Yesterday I was thinking like I could actually probably start jogging this track because it's actually getting kind of easy. Whereas the first time I did it, it was like, it was boiling hot, but it's like you're puffing the whole time. I'm like, oh my God, I haven't been for a hike in ages. But then you get to the point, you're like, oh wow, I can actually go for a little jog now and like sprint up this hill. And it's actually getting a lot easier. So I just track my progress intuitively because I'm so used to like understanding my body's signals and how I feel. Another tip my friend gave me last time I was in New Zealand was I fell in love with Lord of the Fries, which is basically like the vegan version of McDonald's. So when I'd go out I was entering a DJ competition last year, and I actually prepped for the show last year, but I ended up pulling out due to that lady gave me really bad comments about my body and just like lots of financial stuff, because it's a big commitment. So I pulled out of the show, and like my whole car broke down on the driveway, like just thrown out by thousands and thousands of dollars. And then yeah, I was just like not ready mentally to finish my prep and commit to that, and was also sick so often in hospital as well. So I postponed the show, but I was doing a DJ competition, so I'd have to drive 1.5 hours, including finding a park, to Brisbane every 2 weeks, and then like the actual competition day. And then right across the street, there was Lord of the Fries. So I'd go there, I'd order like a big ass burger, Oreo shake, that's like my go-to treat, and like a big thing of fries. And I'd just be like eating all this takeaway. It's like, oh my God, this is so delicious. And when my friend came over from New Zealand, we would go out for dinners and stuff when I was meant to be just starting my prep. So what she said is like, instead of saying you can never have Lord of the Fries, or you can never go for one restaurant meal, just choose two things. So instead of like a burger, fries, and Oreo shake, just have like the burger and shake, or honestly just one thing, like just the burger or something, and then just get the shake next time. Like, just, you can still have things when you're in prep, but just don't go all out. And so if we're going to a fancy restaurant, don't have like a cocktail and main and dessert. Just have like a main and dessert, or a main and a cocktail or mocktail kind of thing. So you can still go out and enjoy things. And a lot of the other girls in prep won't even do that, but it doesn't make you feel as restricted, and you can still go out, but you're not just like choosing everything off the menu and like eating everything. So yeah, she sent me another voice message this morning and basically just said she's really proud of me. I've been going to the gym in the morning before I usually am awake. So that's been huge. And she said that I can help bridge the gap between like intuitive eating and holistic side of things and actually transforming your physique, and like show people a middle ground way of achieving things. Check-in photos are a great way of measuring your progress instead of using the scale. I am using the scale at the moment during my prep, but things fluctuate so easily. It can depend once again on your cycle, how much water you've had, how many carbs you've had, your gym sessions, like you'll be holding onto more and got like a pump on. And if you're building muscle, you put weight on anyway. So I don't even use that as a way to measure progress. Like if I go up a little bit, it's like awesome. Or if I lose some, I might actually be losing muscle. So to me, it's not like a telltale factor of how well I'm doing. So I just always look in the mirror and like see how visible my abs are. Like, is my core coming down a little bit? I measure the size and proportions and look of my upper body and lower body, and like look at parts that I need to bring up and stuff like that. So I basically just look in the mirror and see like, okay, cool, you need to keep working, keep pushing hard, keep going for your walks, start going for more runs, like try to lift heavier, try to stay on track with your diet. Just like, I look at it all visually. I don't use scales or anything like that. To do an intuitive cut, you will need some knowledge of tracking food and some experience just to kind of learn things that trip you up. So at the start of my prep, I found this really delicious, it's like a sweet chili, plant-based chicken tender thing that you do in the air fryer. But because of the crumb and because it's so dense in oil, it was actually 2/3 of my daily calories, like almost everything I'm meant to eat in a day, just in one meal. And that wasn't with any sides of salad or veggies or anything. I just ate it for like a nice boost of protein. But it's actually so high in oil and calories that it's actually not an effective way of eating during prep, or an effective way of getting in my protein. So learning about little things like that that trip you up. There's those packets of brown rice that you can microwave as well. And the one I had the other day was like, I think it was like 356 or 400 calories. And once again, like my calories are individual to me, but that's almost 1/3 of my daily intake just for one tiny bit of rice. So I don't know if it's just because it's the microwave one, maybe they have like additives that make it higher, or just because it's such a high carb food, which in general life, that's good for you. But during prep, I really need to space that out. So split that rice between two meals with the protein and add a lot more greens to make it go further. One of the nights I even sabotaged myself. I had a really, really bad day, and I was like, you know what? I just felt like a complete failure. I was having like a full mental breakdown, and my favorite treat food is peanut M&Ms. And I went to the supermarket and I was like, even though I'm not meant to do this, I grabbed some off the shelf, went to the car and just scoffed my face in the car park. And once I got home, I tried to hide it from my boyfriend. I just like walked in with the packet to put in the bin and he saw me and he calculated it. That was my whole entire daily calories just in peanut M&Ms. And that was just the small bag. So in daily life, yes, it's okay to have those things, but when it comes to like a self-sabotage thing or a binge, you really need to be doing good mentally so that you don't fall into those traps and really become aware of what is causing you to have those things in the first place. So I'm all about that intuitive side and getting to the root cause instead of saying, oh my God, you're so silly, you're ruining your progress, you ate all those M&Ms and that's your whole daily food. I'm like, okay, well, what caused the mental breakdown in the first place? Why am I feeling so low? What practices can I put into place in the future if that happens again? My boyfriend said, can I just give him a call if I feel like I'm going to go and do the same thing so he can just talk to me and just help with my mental health first? So I'm all about that kind of approach instead of like beating yourself up for something. Dig into the reason why and then how can you fix the root cause of the problem? But if you have never tracked food before, you wouldn't know that the food you're binging on might be however many calories that they are. A couple of other things I've noticed as well are just like little nut bars, like muesli bars, because nuts are so high in fats, they're very high in calorie, but they really don't keep you feeling that full. You can kind of pair them with an apple or banana or something, but I used to just have like 2 nut bars for breakfast when my mental health was really bad, but I can't do that now. It's like minimal protein and like way too high calories for like how satiated you actually feel. And the other one is mayonnaise. I don't want to be a person who like has no dressing in prep. I have just made it minimal. So when I'm having big salads and stir fries, most of these girls don't use any oil either, but some of my food would be very dry if I didn't use oil, especially with some of the textures of the plant-based chicken. They just need that to give it like that crispiness and moistness. Otherwise, it would be like very dry. And most of them don't care, but I want to at least enjoy things a little bit. So instead of going overboard, like adding all this sauce in there and stirring it around and like all the seeds and nuts and mayonnaise, if I'm making a Caesar salad, I've been living off so many of those lately because the cos lettuce has been so refreshing. I just add like a little teaspoon and like mix it around so it just slightly coats the leaves, but without it being like so heavy and dense. So you can bring things down to amounts like that as well. The mayonnaise is so high in calories because it's full of oil. So it's like not a health food, it's a fat once again. So instead of just saying like no sauce, no oil, no mayonnaise, no dressing, I just add a touch so it's still got like the texture and the flavor, but it doesn't throw your calories out of the water. And that makes your food a bit more enjoyable. So you're more likely to eat the veggies and more likely to stack your plates up with those foods in the first place. My next tip is to make meals with plenty of greens. So as I said before, I'd rather stack up my plate with greens with a little bit of dressing than not want it at all because it just tastes like lettuce, just tastes like water. But some of the meals I've been having have like a whole head of cos lettuce, a whole cucumber in one bowl. Edamame beans are really good. You might not have tried them if you're not plant-based or vegan as well, but even just with like a bowl of edamame beans with a little bit of salt, you can also do edamame beans with, if you're not in prep, like some rice milk syrup, tahini, peanut butter, and olive oil for a really nice dressing. And they can just be like a really nice side to your plate. But during prep, honestly, just defrosted and get the ones that aren't in the shell and just add a little bit of salt. And because they're also high in protein, because they're a soy product, that helps contribute to your daily intake of protein, keeps you feeling full, but it's also like so high in fiber and just feels nice and delicious as well. Another thing I've become aware of is I started making these plant-based salami sandwiches. Now the salami is just mostly made out of coconut oil. It does have a really nice peppery flavor. So in a sandwich, I'd have gluten-free bread, I'd have Nutrilex spread and some mayo, lettuce, salami, and a slice of vegan cheese. But because like there's actually no protein in that meal, like bread, cheese, the salami is oil-based, lettuce. So even though it's delicious and a yummy breakfast option when I'm not in prep or trying to do a cut, when it comes down to it, like things like that can't really have a place when I'm this far out from the stage. So it's all just about learning like you do have to sometimes track or just look at the food just to learn things like that. Like, oh, this food doesn't actually have any protein, so it's not going to be fueling me after my session. And I'm just wasting calories on like lots of fat instead of foods that are going to maintain my mass. They don't really give you much bang for your buck. With the protein, as I said, I've been having those protein mousse things daily, but a few other things I've thought of to increase the daily intake. So instead of having that brown rice, like I said, that is very high in calorie, I thought, why don't I start making some quinoa and just cook up a huge batch at the start of the week and sprinkle that through my salads because that's got higher protein. Beans and legumes are a carb with higher levels of protein, or even adding chili beans as a side to a dish or in a breakfast wrap or things like that. You can get edamame or chickpea fettuccine, which is very high in protein. TVP, which I haven't had for ages just because I don't really like it, but it can be used as a mince replacer. And last prep, I just added boiling water. It cooks itself within 2 minutes. You can buy some brands that come with a powder flavoring already through it, and then boom, we've got like a really high protein meal. I swear it had like 30 or 40 grams just for my lunch, and I just ate that on its own, and it was easy just to transport to work. And those little corn chicken bites as well, those ones are vegetarian, not vegan, because they do contain egg white. But I've just been having those with a little bit of satay sauce, and that is honestly delicious. It's like a third of my daily protein intake. So if I just have that for lunch every day, well, I still change up my meals, but having something as simple as that, that is really delicious and really boosts the protein intake, just helps with like the overall hitting your macros and goals every day. Another way to intuitively cut is do healthy activities with your friends. So during my prep, I've been meeting up for coffee and going for walks, going for hikes, walked around a lake, walked up a mountain, and just like being more like cautious of your intake of what you're having. I did go up for one brunch and just got avocado toast, which was really lovely. But instead of like going out for this big ass brunch with all these restaurant meals and maybe going out for cocktails and drinks and having all this stuff where you're intaking a lot of things that aren't meant to be on your plan, I'm not as strict. I still go out. A lot of the girls say no to all social situations, and that would probably be more detrimental for my mental health. And I think that's why a lot of people struggle with a prep and like how strict to be, but just finding healthy activities, going for a walk, going for a hike, and yeah, just getting a coffee. That's not many calories, and I'll drink a coffee in a day anyway. So just switching it over to things like that that are more in aligned with your goals while you're in that process. And last tip for intuitive cutting, I obviously still like to party because I'm a DJ. So I finally achieved my goal after like 3 years or something. It's always been my goal to play a nighttime bush doof set, and I did it. I got to play a morning one at the end of last year. It was 10 a.m. and it was really hot, so most people were like still just like in their vans and tents and stuff. But I heard that like everyone was kind of just like vibing to the music and stuff. And because I play dubstep, psytrance is so big in the Australian doof scene, so it was such a huge opportunity to get to play my music and get to introduce people to a whole new genre that they might not have heard of before, or they think they don't like, and they're actually like, actually I don't mind this in the right scenario. So I got to play in a bush doof. I'm so happy. I was so worried when I moved to Gold Coast and split up from my relationship. I was like, how am I going to get a booking? How am I going to get booked on my own? Like, I'm going to have to give up being a DJ, how I'm meant to get my name out there when I'm introvert. And I literally did it. So I played a nighttime bush doof set in the weekend, and I'm so happy. So instead of, like, you don't always know what food's going to be there. Sometimes they've got food trucks there. They might just have like hot chips or like a sausage and bread, which I'm not going to eat. So we made sure to do a proper shop, and we packed our protein mousse, and we packed our seitan chicken. We bought like a pork and a duck one, and we made these yummy pita breads with rocket just to get in that protein intake and a few carbs since we were doing a lot of dancing and out in the heat all day. Lots of kombucha. That's like my go-to savior. I basically have a kombucha every single day. That's a very low calorie drink option. So just by planning those meals, making sure we had a few things with protein, just more whole foods, and greens also make your tummy feel a little bit better as well, just to help get us through that weekend so we're not like losing a lot of our mess and just like going days with barely eating or eating the wrong foods. The next part of this video is sabotage and fearing food. I do not want to freak out over tiny details, and I believe that stress also has such a negative impact on our body. So if you have a piece of chocolate and you think, oh my God, this is so unhealthy and it's gonna make me so fat and go to my thighs, you're gonna eat it and it's gonna make you so unhealthy and it's gonna go to your thighs. But if you eat something and you're like, wow, this is exactly what my soul craves right now and I feel totally satisfied until the next time a craving pops up, it literally goes through your body the same way. So your actual thoughts, I truly believe, do have an impact on your physique, because we can actually manifest sickness or health in our own bodies as well, just by what our brain thinks is going on. So if we feel like certain foods are off limits, we're more likely to develop eating disorders and binge eating and like just food fixation. A lot of the girls have like dream, like not even bodybuilders, just people who are so fixated on losing the weight and getting to that point. They have like dreams about food and they just can't stop thinking about it because they haven't allowed themselves to have any of it for so long. And once I place restrictions on myself, that's when I start to eat worse than before. So like I mentioned earlier in the video, I would start midnight snacking, or I'd eat like double the amount of calories that I used to in a day, or like binged a whole bag of peanut M&Ms, like depressed and crying, staring into the distance in the car. But all of that's unnecessary if you just kind of incorporate the healthy habits into day-to-day life. And also, especially during bodybuilding prep, realize that it's just for a point in time. This is not how you're going to live forever. You don't need to cut out these foods forever. You're hopping on stage to get to a certain point and you have to sacrifice some things. And like I said, with the dark chocolate, just switching to a dark chocolate and just having a couple of pieces instead of like scoffing half a block of something that's not as rich. So it's just about making those smaller changes, and whether it is for prep or for day-to-day life, finding that balance so that you can do it long-term, or realizing that it's not going to be forever. One more thing to add to that as well. I've seen two posts on this before, one by Talia Page, one by Lauren Kelly, and they did an Instagram post and said that being in prep and dieting is a privilege. And I was like, dieting? A privilege? What do you mean? And I think back in the day when Talia said it, she actually got a lot of hate because it was like during COVID or something and everyone just didn't understand. But the point that I'm getting at is if we're choosing to diet and limit our calories and only eat certain foods, there's actually people overseas starving, even in our own country, who can barely afford food. They just get their hands on what they can get their hands on. They can't choose what ingredients they eat. They just have to eat what they're given. There's a lot of people that are struggling so bad, and a lot of people, yeah, like going to the gym, that's a privilege. A lot of people can't afford it. A lot of people are injured or might have permanent reasons got to do with their body or health as to why they can't attend a gym. So when you wake up and you're like, oh my God, I don't want to work out, blah, 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 and think of all these reasons as to why you don't want to do it, there's people that would kill to be able to do that right now. And with the bodybuilding prep, like even the cost of entering the show, having a choice of buying higher quality foods, higher protein foods, buying supplements, so many people are struggling that it actually really is a privilege. So that is a really big mindset shift next time you're struggling with your diet. Just remember how many people would kill to be in your position right now. So in conclusion, yes, it is possible to transform your physique without focusing on the tiny details. As long as you clean up your diet, eat more home-cooked meals, prioritize protein, eat a lot more fiber and voluminous green vegetables, more whole foods, swap out sugary drinks. I love kombucha, as I said, every day. I also have a few other drinks that I incorporate. I'm going to film a supplements video next, so stay tuned for that. But here's a little insight anyway. So that's like a More Life One De-Stress, which is just a berry powder. I also put my creatine into that as well and just mix it around. They've also got a Restore one. I do have a discount code Cassie15 that'll get you a discount on all More Life products. They've got protein powders as well. So just having like a drink like that, if you're used to drinking soft drink or things with sugar in them, then that's a really good option. It's also got so many natural herbs. It's just really good for your internal body. And from my old job, I got these. I actually just bought them from a health store once I moved down here and ran out of my old one. So there's Adrenal Switch and Vitality Switch, which is just a greens powder. I don't have it enough. I need to have it more, but I really like the lemon ginger flavor because it's not as sweet. And then just the Adrenal Switch is like a magnesium blend. It's a chocolate drink. So that's another great option to have at night if you're really craving chocolate, but you don't want to just eat heaps of dessert kind of thing. So it's like a chocolatey flavor. But yeah, I'll add all that in my supplement video that I'm going to do next anyway. So just switching out your drinks for things like that. And even with coffee, instead of going to get like this big ass frappe with cream and caramel and ice cream, just get an iced coffee with soy milk or oat milk. So you're just sticking to the absolute basics, espresso, milk, ice, instead of getting all the additives, which obviously bump up the calories. So just be careful of like the drinks you're having throughout the day. Focus on progressive overload at the gym. It really does help to enter your weights every time you're there. My trainer uses an app called Trainerize. So it tells me if I hit PBs, it tells me the last weights that I was lifting. It gives you little how-to videos. And that's really actually what transformed my gym journey, because I used to just go in and do some things willy-nilly and had no actual program or structure to it. So that gives me something to work towards, and just incorporating regular walks. Like, yeah, we forget the benefits of just simply going for a walk, getting that fresh air, getting the sunlight on your skin, and getting our digestive system moving. In the podcast I listened to on my hike yesterday, this woman used to work in the emergency department, and she said so many people would come in with constipation and I'd give them a cup of warm water, tell them to walk around the block, and it's fixed. And they said it honestly happens like way more often than you think. So just like simply walking improves your whole life, and listening to a good podcast for your mental health as well, that's like a life changer. Do it honestly every second day, and that's something achievable that you can do before or after work. And any kind of exercise as well, like it doesn't have to be weights, but if you prefer group fitness classes or group sport or rock climbing, kayaking, like whatever makes you happy, go and do that just to get your body moving regularly and something that you're going to stick to long term. And let the tiny habits stack up day after day. That's all it comes down to. In prep, you just got to tick off. Have I prepped my meals and reached my goals? Have I been for my walk or done my cardio? Have I done my strength training session? Yes, yes, yes. Doing that over time is literally just the formula to achieving the long term goals and progress. This was a very long but in-depth video, so I will wrap things up now. So before you go, I would like to invite you to download my free pantry essentials guides that will tell you some of my favorite ingredients to keep in my pantry at all times to help keep my diet and nutrition on track for optimum energy and performance. Lots of nice little things to add into your baking, like chai powders and stuff like that, that just really make a difference to your cooking. So you can download that free PDF in the link below. I'm also in the process of creating my plant-based recipe app. I know it's taking ages, but it's so long, like making all the recipes and figuring it all out. I do want to bring in a fitness section as well. I don't want to do just programs. You can go to any coach for a program, but I specialize in plant-based diets because not many people who do bodybuilding or do body composition do that as well. So I specialize in plant-based diets, but I'm not restricted to just that. I let my clients choose how they prefer to eat. You can swap certain things out. If it's got mock chicken, you can add real chicken. I like to give freedom around that, so it's not just my way is the only way. So I always like to make it work for my clients. You can head to the link in the description and at this stage sign up for the mailing list to be alerted as soon as it goes live. It shouldn't be too far away, maybe 1.5 months away if things will go to plan. And yeah, I would like to incorporate some fitness videos because I experienced so much gym anxiety, especially starting at a new gym where it was a lot busier and I felt like everyone was looking at me all the time. You're less likely to try new moves out of your comfort zone because you don't know what to do and people might stare at you like, why are they doing the move like that? Their form is wrong. You don't know how to adjust certain equipment. So I really want to focus my stuff around the education side of it. So I'll have a fitness category coming soon, but first off, I'll just launch it with just the recipes. Nice and easy plant-based stuff, because I work with people who may have had eating disorders and have been overly strict with food. I haven't included calories or macros in all my general recipe tabs, but I will have a comp prep hacks category. So that's got calories and macros just for people who may be doing a plant-based prep who need very low calorie, high protein hacks and things like that that I've learned during my process on getting to the stage as well. So there's a little bit of something for everyone in there, and the recipes are all so simple, minimal dishes, minimal ingredients, because when you look at a recipe and it's just like this big list, you never make it. So I wanted it to be as simple as possible and just like incorporate everything that I'm about. So it's getting there, it's coming soon. I'm doing so much work behind the scenes with all this content creation and all the recipes and all the photos and everything like that. I've also just launched my other 8-week program, so that one is kicking off now as well. So head to the link in my description for the Pantry Essentials Guide. You can check out the app page, and also don't forget to follow me on socials as well. Instagram and TikTok are the ones that I use the most. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can comment below anything you would like to discuss or any other questions you have, or your experience if you've tried doing intuitive tracking before, or if you've got any tips that myself or other people might benefit from. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much, and stay tuned for next week.